a very important point, that the that defining the right peer group is a very important task, very crucial for this, and it's not very simple, because your peer group could vary. For example, if you're looking at student data, you might be looking at what other schools do the students who come here compare us to. That might be one way of thinking about it. Well, on the other hand, when you're looking at the faculty data, you might see what other schools do the faculty who come here would consider as peers. So it could vary. Some of the data that we are doing here, we are trying to create a consistent set of peer groups for some of the data. For certain other kinds of data, we would have to go to different peer groups. So it would depend partly on the question. You would like to have it simple by having a same peer group, but in certain cases, you might have to go away from that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. That concludes my report.
Okay. Ed, may we turn to you now?
Yes, sir.
For the committee report.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's my pleasure to report on the Audit, Budget, Finance, and Facilities Committee, which held a meeting at beginning at 1 p.m. on May 30th, with people attending from all three campuses. Myself, Trustees Montgomery, Strobel, Oliver, and Olivier, as well as Treasurer McKeever were present. President Hogan, Vice President Knorr, and a number of subject matter presenters were also present for the meetings. The minutes of the March 14th meeting were approved, and I'll summarize the presentations that were made. First, Bob Plankenhorn presented the Auxiliaries Facilities System Revenue Bond Issue for renovation of Eikenberry Commons, for demolition of Forbes Hall, and for refunding of certain outstanding auxiliary bonds. Vice President Knorr presented the preliminary operating budget for 2012 with a request for continuing appropriation. Peter Newman presented the revision in the medical malpractice limits for off-site medical facilities. Heather Habernacker presented the purchases and renewals recommendations. Mike Bass presented the contract award for renovations at the Medical Center in Chicago, the proposed expansion of boundaries for the research park in Urbana, the lease of space for cancer research in Urbana, and the exchange of farmland between the university and the foundation. Vijay Ghosh reviewed certain amendments to the university's general rules regarding contracts. Doug Beckman presented a proposal for fiscal 2012 for agreements between the university and the foundation and the Alumni Association. Maxine Cerroto presented the results of the fiscal 2010 federal compliance A-133 audit. Julie Zimaitis presented the fiscal 2011 third quarter internal audit report and amendments to the internal audit charter. Peter Newman made a presentation of the directors and officers insurance coverage as for information for the trustees. Doug Beckman made another presentation on the utilities budget and the status of the utilities fund balance. And finally, Walter Knorr provided an update of the state's legislation potentially impacting the university. I bring to your attention that the committee has recommended for the full board consideration several items in the book. I'll cover them briefly. Item 16, which is to amend the rules concerning the university organizations and procedure. Item 17, to amend the bylaws of the Board of Trustees. Item 18, to approve preliminary operating budget for fiscal 2012. Item 19, to approve issuance of auxiliary facilities revenue bonds, series 2011A and 2011B. Item 20, to approve the fiscal year 2012 agreement with the University Alumni Association and the University Foundation. Item 21, approve revisions of the university's liability self-insurance plan to update off-site medical malpractice limits. Item 22, award of construction contract for infrastructure replacement and renovations at the University of Illinois Medical Center in Chicago. Item 23, the designated expansion of the University of Illinois Research Park in Urbana. Item 24, to approve the lease space for the cancer research in Urbana. Item 25, to authorize the South Campus Land Exchange Agreement with the University of Illinois Foundation. And finally, item 26, which are the repurchase recommendations. The meeting adjourned at 2:50 p.m., and the next meeting will be held July 11th. If there are no further questions or comments, I would yield the floor to two presentations. First of all, Professor David Merriman of the University Institute of Government and Public Affairs on a quarterly report of the state's budget, which I'm sure we'll be all very interested in. And then secondly, Walt Knorr will give us an update on the financial indicators. So without any further questions, I'll turn over the floor to David. Welcome, sir.
And how long was that meeting?
The meeting was an hour and 50 minutes. We've been trying to give back to the committee time that we've ran over in previous meetings. But I would make a comment, and I've said it to all of them, the discipline that the individuals involved in making the presentations, bringing the matters to us, giving us advance information is remarkable. And I'm just very pleased to work with all the staff who put this together.
I also have a very strong chair of that committee.
David. That point about getting the material in advance is
very helpful.
It's very helpful, and we appreciate the effort that goes into having to do all of that. So,
okay. Thank you for giving me a chance to speak today. I'm going to give you a little bit of an update on Illinois' economy and the fiscal situation, fiscal balance, what we know about fiscal balance in the state. My talk consists of three parts. First, a little bit on the recent legislative actions. This goes through May 31st, when the General Assembly adjourned. Some cyclical factors in the Illinois economy and the regional economy, and then a little bit of update of what that means for the fiscal balance in the state. First, I want to talk about legislative actions with respect to revenue. There was only one major legislative action. That was the major bill on gaming, major expansion of gaming. This would bring about $1.5 billion of new revenue and a one-time fix to the state, and also about $500 million a year on an annual basis. It's somewhat unclear whether Governor Quinn will sign this or will veto portions or all of the bill, so we don't know what's going to happen with respect to that. The legislature did not authorize any new additional borrowing, and I'll talk a little bit more about that, the implications of that later. And of course, there were no major tax changes since the January 2011 increase in the personal and corporate income tax. So that's what happened on the revenue side in the legislative session. On the spending side, the January 2011 legislation capped general fund spending at $36.8 billion for the fiscal year FY 2012. The House approved and the Senate eventually concurred with a much lower level of spending, and this was also much lower than what Governor Quinn asked for, of $33.2 billion of general fund spending. Now, that spending is approximately constant with respect to what was spent last year in FY 2011. Or will be spent, FY 2011 is not yet over, but it still involves significant cuts in some programs, particularly some social service programs, and so it's quite an austere budget going around. What's happening, this is a little bit of a switch, what's happening with the Illinois economy, and the basic factor is, and much of this is borrowed from material compiled by the Chicago Fed, I should say, the Midwest is leading other U.S. regions in the recovery. So actually, we're doing rather well. It's not so much that economic conditions are better in the Midwest, but that the Midwest had fell further and now is recovering faster than the rest of the economy, other regions. The regional economy is improving largely because it's being pulled along by the agricultural sector, which is doing well, and manufacturing sector, and that particularly is autos. As you know, there was a very large decline in U.S. auto production, and that affected the entire economy. Now that's doing somewhat, it's recovering, and so leading the real Midwest recovery. But we've also seen labor market improvements in Chicago and other service-oriented metropolitan areas. And the benefit seems to be that we do a lot of business services. A lot of those business services support manufacturing around the region, and so we're benefiting from that. Also, the hospitality, the tourist industry is doing relatively well. So the recovery in the Midwest, the economy is certainly still very bad, but actually we're recovering somewhat faster than the rest of the nation. What's ahead for the Midwest? Well, certainly the most current numbers, and these are actually the numbers that we got after I put together much of this talk, are somewhat discouraging. But even without those, the recent slight uptick in the U.S. unemployment rate, there's reason to be concerned because the resurgence that we're seeing in the Midwest is driven partly by transitory factors. One of those transitory factors is that during a recession, what typically happens is firms allow their inventories to dwindle. As you get a recovery, they rebuild their inventories. That's particularly important in the Midwest where we have manufacturing. So we've benefited from that rebuilding of inventories. But once inventories reach the level that firms desire, you don't get a continuing push from that. And so we think that there'll be only normal growth in inventories going forward, which suggests that we may see the recovery sputter a little bit just because of that. A second thing is that there was a international economic growth. Now we have to be concerned about yesterday there was an uptick in oil prices, et cetera. Many of those things can choke off international growth, and those factors are very important to the Midwest, where we see manufacturing as a very important industry. So the general point is that the Midwest is doing relatively well, and Illinois is benefiting from that, but there's reason to be concerned, continuing reason to be concerned in the future about the state of the economy. What do we know about the fiscal balance in Illinois? Well, as I said before, the budget that was passed by the General Assembly showed immense restraint with respect to FY 2012 general fund spending. We have general fund spending, which is about equal to actual general fund spending last year, and also about equal to what general fund revenues are predicted to be. And my latest information is that we're on track with respect to general fund revenues. So basically, we have about as much general fund revenue as we have general fund spending. And that says that we've got a balanced general fund, at least, or general funds. But we have some major remaining concerns about the fiscal balance, even in the general fund. The first is that we don't know how the governor will respond. The governor has shown very, I think, legitimate concern about the fact that the budget is very tight in some spaces and really is going to put pressure on some safety net programs, as I talked about before. Secondly, we have many billions of dollars of unpaid bills, and the legislature didn't take any action to deal with those unpaid bills. That you know, is a real problem for Illinois' credibility. It's a real problem for working with contractors and service providers. It's obviously a real problem for the university as well. Thirdly, the legislature did not deal with post-employment liabilities, including pensions, but also health expenses are a very big factor. And so those factors still have to be dealt with. With the revenue we have, we don't have any additional money to deal with those post-employment liabilities. And really, the greatest concern of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs and our Fiscal Future project is we don't know what will happen outside the general funds. I've talked about this in previous meetings. A lot of the media attention is put on the general funds budget, sometimes referred to as the state's checking account. That's only about half of total state spending. And although that is balanced, or was balanced based on what the General Assembly passed, and this is a graph of what's happened to the general funds over the past 15 years or so, you can see that the general fund sometimes bounces around. The general fund actually went down in fiscal year 2010. General fund spending went down. We don't completely know for fiscal year 2011 what it will be. That's really an estimate. For fiscal year 2012, we're based on what the legislature passed. That's what it looks like will happen with the general fund. But if we add the non-general funds as well, about half of the budget, we see that what happens with the general fund does not necessarily reflect what happens in the total state budget. In particular, if you look at FY 2010, from 2009 to 2010, we saw a decline in general fund spending, but actually an increase in total spending. And we just simply don't yet have the information on what's going on outside the general fund, what total spending has been approved, and we certainly don't know what will happen after the governor and the legislature get done with that. I hope to be able to update you in the fall with more information on what's happening outside the general funds, but we remain very concerned about the fiscal stability of the state. So that's basically my prepared remarks for today. I'd be happy to take questions.
Just a question on that last slide.
Yes.
It'd be helpful if you also plotted on the revenue.
Yeah, we do have, in the interest of time, I didn't talk about revenue. There is in your additional slide some information about revenue. And the general fund's revenue, we know, is very likely to be